Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Cricket Show, broadcasting around the world every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. Your hosts for The Cricket Show are Leon Francis, Ivor Henry, and Audley Watson. But the most important player is you. To join in the fun, call 1-347-934-0226. Log on to blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow or fast bowl us an email with your questions and comments to thecricketshow@comcast.net. And now, let's talk cricket, lovely cricket. Here are Leon Francis, Ivor Henry, and Audley Watson.
A pleasant good evening to all of you out there in Radio Land. It's a pleasure to be back after having missed the show for 2 weeks on some much needed vacation. I would say something that I thoroughly enjoyed and something that I wanted to do for a very long time. Well, I hope you can tell your friends, your well wishes that we are on live. The weather here in my neck of the woods is slightly overcast, but it's something that most parts of the world would love to have had in their backyard. I am indeed happy to be back and see that I'm joined by co-host Ivor Henry, and also our good friend Cardinal Mills. I'm going to say good afternoon to you both, gentlemen. Good afternoon to you. It's a pleasure to be back, and indeed, I'm so happy to hear the many nice things that you guys have said about me, especially on my birthday. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Leon, and welcome back.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be back. I miss you guys tremendously. I do hear a part of the show, not all of it, but indeed, I was so happy to be away, but I'm so awfully glad to be back.
Good afternoon to everyone out there in radio and internet land. And it's a pleasure to be back here again for another Sunday. And I hope it's going to be a good one as usual. And I hope everyone had a wonderful week when we last met here.
Indeed.
So having said that, I look forward to the next 3 hours or so. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors, we are on live. And lively, Leon.
Yes, indeed. And Cardinal and Ivor, we are also joined by our good friend, Audley. Audley, good afternoon to you, and it's a pleasure to hear your voice again.
Good afternoon to you, gentlemen. Good afternoon to your listeners. A wonderful, wonderful week. Welcome back, sir. We have been missing you for 2 weeks, and it's so such a pleasure to have you back, to hear your voice again. Knowing that you went away for your birthday, take a little holiday, a little break, whatever, and hopefully you enjoyed whatever you took the time off to do. So I'm happy to have you back. Happy to have you back.
And I'm happy indeed to be back as usual. I know when it comes Sunday, this is just a part of my day. After having gone to my regular duties at church, I will then come here and do what I had to do. But just to say a little bit about my trip. My trip abroad was twofold. It was to celebrate my birthday. I had the pleasure of attending the ODI match, England versus Australia at Old Trafford. And I also went to see my brother-in-law, who had some problems with health issues. He was indeed, I don't know if most of you know, he is the former Mr. Universe. And he's my wife's brother, and he is not doing too well in terms of his health. He's getting down in age, and we wanted to see him. And in addition to that, his wife has had to have some surgery. She has suffered from diabetes and had to have one of her legs amputated. So we just took the time off to go and see them, because I know it won't be easy for them to travel if they're going to be traveling at all. But my trip
really sorry to hear that, sir. I accept our, sympathy and, support from us here. We're really sorry to hear that. But why don't you tell us the name of your brother-in-law, Mr. Universe?
Yes, Mr. Paul J. Winter. W-Y-N-T-E-R, Paul J. Winter. It was Mr. Universe in 60 and 66. And has many, has got many awards from many of his peers around the world. But he is a shadow of himself right now. He's not that physique that we were accustomed to see. With age, he is now in his late 70s, so he has gone down quite a bit. And we had the pleasure to dine with him, to play with him, to talk with him, and that was just a joy to be there. He was very collective and up and around, being able to do his crossword every single day. He buys his newspaper and knows everything in the newspaper, does his crossword and so forth. But just, he's not as agile as he used to be. And age, of course, is creeping on. And his wife is even more serious than he is, because she is in a home, had to be taken care of, because he was not able to take care of her because of the fact that she lost this leg and indeed is suffering from diabetes. Her sight is diminishing as well. So it's a complication. But my trip took me from Miami to France, and then from France to Manchester, where he lives. And then we met his daughter, who was a fine young lady, and she will be, she is indeed celebrating her birthday today, which we will want to mention later on. She took us to Scotland, where I had a very good time, and we spent a few days there and saw some very nice views, sceneries. Went into some very posh places, ate at one of the best restaurants in the world, Mother India, and do some shopping in a very crowded street where you thought that you probably would think it's a day when everybody would be working, but the streets were crowded as if they had some festival on. It's a normal day. Went over to Manchester City and Manchester United to see their stadium and tour the city of Manchester. And it was all in all a worthwhile experience for me. And it's something that I wish you guys could have been there to see the match, because the match was, even though it looked so good on the television, it's plain weather. We really couldn't expect. All players in this part, obviously, would be. I was in the stand and clothed with coat, two shirts, and still felt cold. And these guys were playing in the field and as if nothing is going on. I see guys in front of me with beers, just drinking beers and shouting in shirt sleeves. And when I look in the stands, though, it was a lone black man, myself alone, and a couple of Indians, and that was it. But it was enjoyable. Old Trafford was a nice, I saw the great Holden on me. I didn't go close to him because these guys are really, you're not able to go close, but you can see him from afar. But all in all, it was enjoyable, and it's something worth repeating. And but nevertheless, I'm glad to be back, and hopefully we can have a good show as usual. So at this point, I'm just going to ask the Lord's blessing on the show as usual. Good day, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity you have afforded us to present another show. We hope and pray that you may just allow us to impart the things that good for our audience, and hope those who join us are in good health, and those who are suffering, we pray for them that they may overcome their temporary setbacks. And hopefully, Lord, you may just let us endure this next 3 hours and provide our listeners the world over with things that we have settled to do to provide and promote to educate cricket around the world. Gentlemen, amen.
Amen.
Well, anything new, gentlemen, from any other folks that you may want to share with us at this point?
Well, one is new, Leon. One of your favorite fans who is usually on here early, I have to apologize for missing the first maybe hour or so, because she's out at the ice skating rink with her family. So I guess you'll see when she comes on, but I was asked to convey that message.
That is a first, and when once that happens, I do know that it's something really, really, really special that has prevented her from being with us. You know, whatever she's doing, she will enjoy it, and we hope and pray when she joins us, she will be able to get caught up with all the news of cricket around the world. And thanks for letting us all know. Well, it was a pleasure. Gentlemen, shall we begin with Cardinal, anything new from your neck of the woods? I know you are a little way away from us, but you may hear something from your neck of the woods which might be of local interest to us here, you know, neck of the woods.
Nothing is happening right now. You know, the scenery and sport is pretty quiet at the moment in these parts. There was probably a horse race today, but I'm not aware of the, you know, the outcome of that. I'm not particularly a fan of the horse racing scene. That's the only thing I heard happening around today. So
awesome.
The only thing that I can think of is a tragedy occurred in Angola.
Wow.
over the weekend. You know that it was the St. Kitts Nevis independence celebrations, and one of the activities was a drag race in Nevis, and these two young men in Anguilla were kind of preparing and getting ready to go over to Nevis and participating in the drag race. And the car in which they were driving at the time flipped, and both young men, I think one is 19, one is 21, they both got killed.
Wow.
So, you know, that was a pretty sad blow to the whole festivities. And they indicated that quite a bit, because Anguillans were participating in the competition, there quite a bit of Anguillans were already in need, you know, to attend the function. You know, so they had to be met. They had to be met with that sad news. You know, so that's about what.
And I'm glad you also mentioned about the St. Kitts and the Nevis independence, because I know you guys mentioned it a little bit last week, but we probably can just prolong that celebration because just a few days away, at least a few days. That has gone since that occurred. And not only that, I have some other interesting concerns. Some of my friends were born, as a matter of fact, I had a late brother who was born on that day. I wondered if that day was a special day in the life of the St. Kitts and Nevis people, why they chose the 19th of September and not, say, the 1st of October or the 1st of some date. Usually the end. But the 19th seems to have stood out. But nevertheless, when we come to a birthday time, obviously we will indeed be talking about the St. Kitts and Nevis independence a little bit. Folks?
I just want to touch on the tragedy that is presently unfolding as we speak here in Nairobi, Kenya, where the rebels, Muslim rebels, and, you know, took over. Shoot up this mall, killing some 70 odd people, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And it's still unfolding at the moment because government troops decided to move in. They have rescued some of the people that they have kidnapped. So, you know, sooner or later, maybe by tomorrow, it will be all wrapped up. But, I mean, these fanatics, they just went in and they you know, blow themselves. They just start shoot up the place and just kill a lot of innocent people. Just kill people like that, you know?
Wow, that is sad. And what is happening to our world, we don't know. But every day when you wake up each morning, you just have to listen to the news and find that something is happening. You know, in England, every morning you will wake up and you get the newspaper, some sex scandal, some scandal about some robbery. And, you know, you probably wouldn't hear it on the world news, but most every day you will find that there is someone breaking the law and some people in high places. So
you know, I have to ask the question, you know, what is wrong in the world? You know, Lou Rawls had a song some years ago, "Nothing is wrong with the world. It's the people that..."
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with the world? Has the world gone mad? They say nothing is wrong with the world. It's the people that's in it, and we are messing up the place.
Well, as we come on every week, every Sunday, it is our intention to make this world a better place by providing them a wonderful show each day and each time we broadcast. Iva, I know you may want to say something before we go into the gist of what we wanted to discuss. Anything particular?
No, I'll leave the meat of it for the...
Okay.
What is book itself?
Well, gentlemen, we want to speak about, firstly, the Championship League. As we know, the Championship League has indeed started, and Trinidad and Tobago. Our Caribbean representative team, and good to say that today they had a good win, and we'll give you the details of all the matches that were played so far and give you the more details about who are representing, who Caribbean folks are representing the various teams in the competition. But all I can say, it's on, and Trinidad has started with a win, and that is something very, very good to hear. There is news about the West Indies A. West Indies A have pulled off a superb victory in the ODI matches, having won that series 2-1. They lost the first and the second and the third they won. And that match was captained by none other than the division born, Tyron Powell. It wasn't a good news for us when it came to the ODI, the T10-20, because the West Indies went down, and they went down in a hurry, having conceded by losing by some 93 runs, India A scoring 214/7. West Indies only could muster 121, and they were bowled out under 20 overs in 16.2 overs. We'll give you the details later. And in that match, we had Russell doing the almost something impossible, the Beaver trick, which is very seldom heard in cricket, but he has succeeded in doing that. He can put that in his records to have done that. Talking about other cricket, well, Australia would be touring India starting October the 10th. They'll play a lone T20 and 6 ODI matches. And it is not clear. As a matter of fact, I think it has been confirmed that Clark, the captain, would not be on that tour. But we'll wait and see, and we'll go into the details about all these matches as we proceed during the course of the show. The ICC, they have decided to retain the 2 overs per match in a ODI match, which is of duration 20 overs or more, 26 or more overs. They will retain the 2 new ball in an innings. And there are some other stipulations that they have. We will go into that in details, but they are also contemplating to have 2 more reviews in test matches after 80 overs. So instead of the usual 2 reviews that you would have, they'll have an additional 2 more starting October the 1st when it will go into trial. This to me, it's playing ground, because India, I understand, is not using it, and it's a shame that all the countries aren't using the same guidelines. So that is something we should be going in detail. Ram Narayan, I'm sure you folks remember Ram Narayan. Ram Narayan was the past Weeper president. Now he is trying to become the head honcho for the Trinidad and Tobago cricket team. He has so far teamed up with the former West Indian player Darren Ganga, and they seem to have gotten a number of votes and then their way to achieving or to give him the presidency. The annual general meeting is set for October the 26th, when we will know the outcome of that encounter. But as of this point, he's gaining some ground on the incumbent, Mr. Basarak, and we will see how that works out. The Leeward Islands official, they have accused Mr. Curtly Ambrose, who incidentally turned 50 on Friday, because he has been offered a contract with the combined campuses and colleges to be one of the official coaching in their department, and they were players from the officials from the Leewards were figuring that he should be at home, but he feels that he says he was not offered any or given an invitation to help them. So he is with the combined campuses and colleges as of now. But we'll talk more about it. Shane Shillingford has been impressed the coach, the Saklain Mushtaq. He has come to conduct this series of clinic with the West Indian spin bowlers, and he found favor with Shane Shillingford. We will talk about that as well. And West Indies A planned for November. We talked about that sometime before. And the West Indies will be going to India to play two test matches, which will enable Tendulkar to enjoy his 200th appearance for India at home instead of abroad in South Africa. So the West Indies are going to be doing that, and we hopefully we can go and beat them and spoil his party, and spoil their party. We have news about the West Indies entertaining England next year in a series of one-day matches starting in February 25th and will run to March 13th. They will be playing a series of ODI matches at the Sir Vivian Richards Stadium and the Kensington Oval in Barbados. That is not so bad. And we have the full lineup of the England team. Well, we do have not the full lineup, but we have a proposed lineup for the England tour of the Ashes. And of course, we will tell you that. News coming out of Trinidad and Tobago that the former West Indies captain, that is Brian Lara, he is impressed with Gail's leadership of the Talawas. So, sure most of you have heard that. And we talked about the new rules and some sad news, because the umpire Raf, the Pakistani umpire, and the son-in-law of the Indian Cricket Board president, they were charged by the Mumbai India police in a betting scandal surrounding the India Premier League T20 tournament. And Tony Kozer writes an article about messing up the DRS. So those are just the news that we have ahead, and we do hope that we may find enough time to cover them all, unless we do have some other news. And gentlemen, those are what I have for the panel this evening. Audley, you want to come in with your inside edge?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the inside edge for today. The record for most 160-plus score in Test cricket is presently held, and maybe will continue to be like that for a while, by the man who will be playing his 200 Test later this year, Mr. Sachin Tendulkar from India, with 20 such innings of 150-plus, and he's followed very closely, but will not be improved upon by West Indian-owned Mr. Brian Lara, 19. Tendulkar, 150 plus innings followed by Lara, 19. That's the edge for today.
And that is a big inside edge. Gentlemen, you have heard it. Shall we deal with the Western's A Tour and speak about the ODIs? Starting with the first, we knew that you guys have covered last week the first match. I'm not too sure if you did, but just for the argument's sake, the first match, India won by 77 runs. And the details are as follows. India, they scored 312 for 4. West Indies replied with 235. In the Indians, Yuvraj Singh, who captained the match, scored 123, and he's followed by a good 67 by Singh, Mandeep Singh, 67, and we had a good knock of 17 knockouts by YK Pathan. Bowling, Cummins, 1 for 50, Russell, Miller, Nurse, Muscle, and Miller, a wicket each, and Bonner also took a wicket. West Indies batting, there was a good knock of 57 by Dina Ryan, and also followed by a good innings by Nurse for 57. And there were four players who have gotten 2 wickets each. Nawal, Kumar, Sharma, and Sharma, and then Pathan got another 2. So 1, 2, 3, 4 players got 2 wickets. But West Indies losing that match there by some 77 runs. Any comments, gentlemen, or shall we bypass that?
I think we did that.
Okay, the second match was
We did that. We went to the very last match.
Okay, let's talk about the last match in which the West Indies won by, let's see, 45 runs. And scores in the match were as follows. West Indies, they batted first. Fletcher scored 28. Powell, 40. And a beautiful knock of 104 by Kurt Edwards. 104 from 104 deliveries in 140 minutes. 12 fours and 3 sixes. 35 by Carter. And Johnson, Leon Johnson scored 53. And then they were negligible. Thomas scored a 21 and 10 from Nurse. So they were all out. No, not all out, but they were 312 for the loss of 9 wickets. India bowling, Kumar 1 for 56. Undat Kat, he got 5 for 56. And 2 wickets for Nadeem for 33. A wicket for Aparjit. And West India replied with 267 with Utapa scoring 27 and Aparjit got 78. And we had Singh again with a good knock of 61. And then there were some useful contribution of 17 and 18. But the guy who helped us have them to come close was the Kumar. He was not within 37. They were 267 for 8. Cummins, 2 for 46. Carter, 1 for 27. And we had 3 wickets for Permal for 55 and a wicket for 42 for Nurse. The match, of course, enabled the West Indies to win the series 2-1. Gentlemen, your take?
Well, a happy congratulations to West Indies A. And I'm going to start from the top with the coach, Mr. Bennett.
the assistant coach, Stuart Williams, our very own Stuart, Tyron Powell, newfound captain of the A-team, to go over to India and to win a series on Indian soil. Doesn't matter in what format, it doesn't matter what time of year. It's always hard playing in the subcontinent. And to come away with a win against reputable players, I have to say kudos to them. And by last, and by no means last, the selectors, and probably by extension the West Indies Cricket Board, for appointing Mr. Powell as captain, and to get this match going, the A-team, because everybody all over the world, I think they're trying to have their second 11, and from that second 11, you should be able to get replacement players in case players are either rotated, rested, or plainly dropped. And I'm hoping that the guys who would have performed, either they're going to make their way back into the West Indies team, the senior team that is, in whatever format. I mean, we just had the Wanderers. We are yet to have the unofficial test matches. But for now, gentlemen, the guys who are working their way back in terms of runs and wickets and even attitude, they should get a look in, and we should not be playing the same old team in all of the versions. Test, one day, and 2020. Because basically, apart from 2020, we're playing the same old guys. We're just recycling, sometimes, if I can say, garbage. So, congratulations to them. I'm going to leave it there and come back.
RJ, you want to go?
Yes, congratulations. Yeah. Of course, congratulations are due, you know, for the West Indies team, and we're very happy to know that, as I've said before, you know, to go down to India, whether it's under 19, it's the A-team or senior team, to go to India and win a match, win a series, it's a big thing. Because we know the mighty Aussies and the Englishmen, you know, but everybody's going down here and, you know, it's very hard to beat India on their own turf. And we went there and we, you know, pull off a magnificent 2-1 ODI series win. And when I look at the composition of Indian team, the many former big-time test players that's on that team, I really foresee that we are in for big trouble. And it may yet to come, but, you know, for us to win the ODI series, it's something that, you know, it's great. It's great for West Indies cricket. And as I've pointed out, you know, we have a captain, he's captain for the first time, you know, young captain Powell. And, of course, it's looking good for our future. And seemingly the West Indian selectors are grooming Powell for the future where the ODI is concerned. It could be the case. And we're hoping that he will continue to mature in his job, you know, continue to learn on the job, of course. And it will be good for West Indies.
Cardinal?
Yeah, I also want to say congratulations to the West Indies cricket team and the West Indies Cricket Board for recognizing something that we have been talking about on this show for a while. That is, you know, looking to the future and, you know, put West Indies in a position to take that future in hand. And the appointment of the youngster as captain is showing that, you know, somehow the cricket board, the selectors, and whoever is involved in the administration of cricket are taking some serious steps, you know, into account to shape that future of cricket for us. Now, you know, as we go along, you know, we're going to have our own commentaries. And as Ivor says from time to time, he thinks that they're hearing us. And, you know, but we look around and we see some of the responses that we get, and we are happy with those. those responses. I also want to say congratulations to Kirk Edwards, who has never been recognized as a one-day player. And I don't know for what reason. But, you know, he fitted into that team very well. And his last innings of 104 in 104 balls, you know, shows that he can score, and he can score quickly. Even though when he plays test cricket, he has that patient approach, you know, that approach to stick to it, that approach to stay in the wicket and bat long innings and get through difficult times. I think it was unfortunate because of that approach, he became branded as a one-day player and was never given an opportunity to enter the one-day arena as a competitive player. So we had all these options out there, you know, in people like Kirk Edwards, and those options were not being exploited because we had branded him, we had sidelined him as a test player only, while he had the best at that level, have a nice 100%, you know, strike rate and all of that. The other thing I also want to congratulate the players about is their strike rate, but you know, they played cricket, one day cricket, like we should be playing one day cricket, and I was very impressed with that, with the win in the last two scores. I was also impressed with the rate at which they bat, the gusto with which they went after that first score that India set for them. It didn't look as players who were facing scoreboard pressure. And sometimes that scoreboard pressure is what stifles people, even people like Chris Gayle. You know, it seems as if the impact on them on being a big score, you know, stifles your first place. Those youngsters did not seem to be intimidated by a big score. Yes, they lost wickets rapidly, and we're sure that they're going to find a way of rectifying that. But both in that test, or in that one day, where they approach India's 300 runs, I was very impressed by that. And I was also impressed, even though they lost, I was also very impressed with the way they approached the 240 in 2020. The only factor that, as I was saying, is that the last wicket a little bit too rapidly. But they showed courage. They showed breath. They showed that they weren't intimidated. And that is something that you have to carry into the game of international cricket. Once again, congratulations to the team, congratulations to the captains, and congratulations to the administrators of West Indies cricket, and to all of us as West Indians who feel very proud of that accomplishment. For Mr. Powell going down, winning his first series as captain away from home and in the subcontinent, that's something to be looked at.
I too want to join in with the compliments for the captain, Powell, and the management team, and all who had anything to do with the team and their comeback victory, because, like many of you have said before, the comeback to go to India to play in their backyard and to come back after having lost the first ODI is not an easy task. And like most of you have said before, the team was chock full of players with a lot more experience than some of our players were able to. And they were playing in front of crowds, which some of them may not have played before in the past. So that it wasn't an easy task. They won it, and they won it convincingly. And the kudos must be given to them. And I just hope that this can be the beginning of something great for West Indies cricket. And this format of the game we are struggling in the ODIs, which was perhaps our lowest ranked format, and to see that we are making some headway against India in India. I hope that they utilize some of the players that are involved in bringing victory to the Caribbean. We do hope, again, that they carry on. Nothing outstanding, nothing negative about that, but to see Powell, he stood up and said, hey, listen, we are going to bring home victory. And you can see that never say die attitude has been brought forward, and he has really developed the attitude of winning. And we do hope that West Indies don't discard him, give him another opportunity. When once you are on a winning streak, you should give him another opportunity. You've seen that they tried Pollard for the senior team. They've tried Bravo for the senior team. And now they tried Permal before for the A-team and Kirk Edwards for the A-team. And now Powell has been given the opportunity to do the A-team in the shorter format. So let's hope that they continue with him as he has begun with a very good winning streak. And it fosters well for West Indies cricket, because when you see a number of young players are putting up their hands as leaders, who knows the outcome may be. You don't know how long Sammy will be there. You don't know how long the other senior players who show the potential to be leaders will be around. But it's good to have players like Powell. I always consider West Indies made a grave mistake when they, in their heyday, they never did what was obvious to groom the younger players sufficiently. So when the crop of players were not allowed to play in England and they lose their form because of age, we didn't have the amount of qualified replacement players. And we do hope that this time around, West Indies will have an avenue to bring players ready to take up the mantle from some of the leaders in the senior team. So again, congratulations, Powell, and the team, and the management. And we do hope that they will, you know, when they start the unofficial test matches, they'll have some new players, obviously, and Paul won't be the captain, but Kirk Edwards can continue. And if he can bring some victories there, because we have seen that we have done great in the test format under the leadership of Sammy. So if we can get the A-team doing just as well, West Indies will be on the right track, upwards. Gentlemen, that's my
thing. Yes, well, I hope that now we would put bringing back Mr. Chandrapaul into our one-day squad or shorter format of the game to rest once and for all. I'm going to start by saying I really thought it was really unfair to Kirk Edwards, having failed only in England, for them to virtually, I have to say, discarded him. And where he started being discarded is because they started to try to pressure Sammy with the captaincy, when all of a sudden they just made him the captain of the Barbados team, when I honestly didn't think he was ready at that time to whether to be captain of West Indies team, Barbados team, or anybody's team. So he was just getting his feet right, getting it right as a number three batsman for us, and they started, you know, picking on Mr. Sammy. I mean, they started with Sammy from ever since anyway. He's just there to spin the toss. He's just there. And for whatever reason, they were looking for captaincy. And everybody they would have picked to replace Sammy just started failing. Every single one of them. Now, I don't think that Kirk ever should have lost his place in the test team. But now that Cardinal just pointed it out, he went to India and scored a run-a-ball century down in India. And we are saying we need some stability in our one-day cricket. And we are looking forward to see if we can resurrect the dead, so to speak, in one-day cricket. And I'm talking about Mr. Chandrapaul. Kirk Edwards can feel,
we see that he has the leadership qualities in him. He's young. He can bat. And I'm saying if we need somebody to pop up the middle and put some pressure on the young Bravos and the Pollards and everybody who are so inconsistent, we have got to keep this young man, Kirk Edwards, even though they say he plays across the line. I don't think that is cause for concern, because Vivi Richards was dubbed as playing across the line, hitting across the line. And nobody could have get that man out of the wicket when he ready to score hundreds in one day cricket. And today, he's the only person I know who would have never lost a one day match having scored a century. So check out all the West Indies records you can find. Every time Vivi Richards scored a century for West Indies, West Indies won that match. They said, kudos again to Mr. Edwards for showing up in the one day, even though they labeled him as maybe only test cricket, and then discarded him in test cricket. I'm going to say, well done, young man. Thumbs up to you. And Karnad, I'm going to say it again. I know they are listening. I know that. And I'm saying, do the right thing. The selector, the conveyor selector said there was a shortage of leadership in the West Indies, and that's why I believe they wanted to say we have to turn to Sammy and keep him. But it's a long time we didn't have leadership when we had to turn to Brian Lara to fail 3 times as the captain from the West Indies team, of the West Indies team. So I'm saying if we're on the way forward in management, in the captaincy, and everybody else, even crowd support, I say let's stay the course, stop with the hiccup business, and just stay the course and look towards the future. That's it for now.
Well, you know my take on that. I'm not going to share Ivor's view on the Santa Paul issue. I don't think it should be in question right now, because what we're looking at ODIs at the A level. We're not looking at it as it on the test, on the international level yet. Secondly, we have not had very our poorest format is in the ODIs. And until we get the players playing, bringing that format right up, say, midway. And I'm seeing young players who are not able to be consistent. And you said it, Ivor. They're not consistent and still going to retain a place. If you don't have better players than Chander Paul, and Chander Paul can qualify for that, I see no reason why he shouldn't be. I'm not going to share your views, Ivor, and you may have yours, and I would just like to have mine and say I'm not sharing that view. I don't know what the other panelists think about it.
Well, the only thing is that I know Edward. You know, even I think he played in some of the Caribbean T20 before the CPL, and even in those he was a guy that batted very slow. So that was one of the reasons I think he wasn't considered for the West Indies T20 or the ODI squad in a squad. But things has changed in India, but this is one innings. Right, let us look for some consistency first. We know that he is a quality test player. We know that he can occupy the crease, and he did well in India. 100% strike rate. Let us give him all the applause for that. Let us give him the kudos, but let us not get over ourselves now and feel that he's our immediate replacement for whoever. But let us look and see some more consistency. Because we know he's good at the test level, and let us not forget that we have people who are really suited for the different forms of the game. So he did well. We don't want to congratulate him. Let us look and see what he's going to continue doing from here on.
Okay. The team to India, the West Indies tour to India, is something that goes in line with something that a topic that we always talk about on this show, that is exposure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that tour has served that purpose. You know, we saw someone.
I agree with you.
Certainly. Yeah. So for instance, we've seen, you know, Jonathan Carter coming to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've seen him get good starts in cricket and has not been able to continue. And
yep.
this may be the stage on which he really blooms. You know, so let's look at him a little bit more and see how he comes up. Let's hope that he gets some more exposure so that we can look at him and say, okay, we are ready to have a nice all-rounder there in the middle who can, you know, carry on the Gary Sobers, Keith Boyd kind of tradition, that Bernard Julian kind of tradition that that West Indies cricket was built around all these years. We've seen Powell has come so well as a captain. Ashley Nurse, I think, scored a century in one of the matches. Was it?
I think he has been consistent as an all-rounder, Ashley Nurse.
Nurse, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So this tournament has... I think he has given us what we were looking for. In addition to the victory, you know, it has given us what we were looking for. We wanted some exposure. We wanted to see who's going to be ready to supply the senior team with some strike force.
Mm.
And I think the youngsters came forward well and showed us that.
As you said before, Cardinal, it's right, because the A team is supposed to be serving as a nursery, so to speak, to supply the senior team. You can look and say, look, this one, you know, performed well down here, so he's ready for promotion once again, or whether it's for the first time. So as I say, let's see some more consistency, and then we can start skipping.
This is the problem I have. Let me tell you the problem that I have. If we are going forward, gentlemen, we got to go forward. And sometimes you have to look back to go forward. I am saying, and Leon just said it, our weakest format is the one-day format. Shannon Paul is 39 years plus. He's not no strong fielder to turn a ball from in the boundary, and nobody have no force to turn a gully. Let's put it that way. Let's look at even his record, because we were weak while he was in there when he was young. I'm going to even start, if you want to go to 2009, I'll do it. But let's go from 2010, because he finished from since 2011. But let me go up to his century. His last century was against Canada. And I was in Jamaica, April of 2010. And he scored 101. Then he scored Ducks against Ireland, against South Africa, 24. Here we have 66 against South Africa, 66 against South Africa, 13 knockouts, 3, 31. Let me scroll down a little bit, because I'm not going to fight for somebody with these kind of numbers. 3, 31, I said that, 4. All that was... Anyhow, that did not bat against Bangladesh. Against Ireland, mustard 35 from 102 balls. Against Pakistan, 44 not out in the World Cup from 156 balls. And his last match there was March 23rd of 2011. We are coming to the end of 2013. And we are now saying, as Cardinal said, Kirk Edwards, a senior now, he's 28, 29, somewhere up in there. We see that he can do what Chander Paul probably would have done in his day. Stay in the middle, and we can get maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 years out of him. He has the leadership capabilities. And anybody right now tell me they're fighting to bring up Chander Paul after 2011. Into 2014, and we're going to a World Cup in 2015, something has got to be wrong. And if you're listening, please don't even think about bringing up Chander Paul in none of the shorter versions. Please listen. People want, we would not go forward thinking about Shanda Paul. We might be thinking about his son. How big his son? Yes, and say, let's start grooming him. Not grandpa.
I really don't know where the Shanda Paul question comes in at this point, going up. Because we're talking about Shanda Paul at this time, because Shanda Paul don't play in the A-team. We are talking about the A-team's performance, and that's what we were talking about. While it is true that Powell had a very good captaincy, his own performance was not that outstanding. We could question that. He only made 61 runs in the 3 matches, an average of just 20 odd. But we're saying...
No. I'm not going to question it. Leadership meant something.
Yeah, his leadership was good.
Because he meant something. This guy been thrust into that position.
Yeah, but
if he would have failed,
we didn't have no conversation about Shanda Paul at this point. We're
I brought it up and said I hope we bury that idea.
Yeah,
and you're not going to say that.
But
talking about burying, you actually resurrected it. And listen, and the whole thing about it, the stats you're reading out, stats don't say everything sometimes. A person can be there, and because of the condition of the game, what the position of the game, because the Westerns are always, almost always on defensive when it comes to ODI. So it means that he have to stay there and people back around him. So you can't just say he make how much in how much balls. You know?
It is there. And I've seen some of these matches. I lost a lot of night's sleep looking at them.
Ivor, we did not bring up a Shanda Paul. Shanda Paul really should not have been in this argument. We're talking about the performance.
Why not?
No, it should not, because we're not talking about that.
I've heard other programs. Listen again. I've heard other programs, even up to last month, talking about Shanda Paul should still play. I've heard it. I don't know if you're not listening, but I've listened.
But I'm saying that we are not talking about that today. We were talking about the performance of the team.
And I am burying it once and for all because...
Well, you will want to bury it,
we have to give the Jonathan Carters, the Kirk Edwards, and stop holding on to just Darren Bravo, because he's Lara. All I am saying, let's move forward. We have players. So I'm telling these selectors now and everybody else, let's leave that part alone, which end of all. Go on, we have replacements. Don't tell me Pollard, when Pollard going to just come to take 2 catches, or some dribbly doubly something.
You know, I like who you're coming now because you're bringing in other players, but you're not bringing other players, not only Shanda Paul alone. Shanda Paul alone is not in question. All the players that are failing in the ODI should be in question.
Well, of course. Well, this is it.
Bury Shanda Paul.
I'm burying Shanda Paul. Burying Shanda Paul in the shorter version. And it won't be too long before he gets cremated in the test matches. It won't be long.
And that's Ivor's point of view, and it's certainly not mine.
Right.
No, we're getting close to the happy hour.
We're getting close to when we recognize the people who have birthdays, and of course, we would just like to ask Audley to get himself pad up, as it were. Birthday time is the time when we recognize the folks who are having birthdays, and Audley has always been so efficient in providing us with that. And I'm just going to use the new version, Audley, if you're ready. Why don't you hit? You like to hear the music, right?
Happy birthday.
Go ahead, do the music.
Yeah, are you not hearing it?
Yeah. Okay, very low. Okay.
Happy birthday.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Walter Henry birthday hour. It's the time in the evening when we take a look at some of the people from the cricketing fraternity. Those who have celebrated their birthday last week, and some occasional footnotes about such people. All right, we're going to be starting out with the 16th of September, the 16th of September, last week, Monday. And we have Dave Richardson from South Africa. We have Asanka Gurasinghe from Sri Lanka, Gurasinghe from Sri Lanka. Mickey Stewart from England. Gavin Hamilton from Scotland. Dick Young, who played both cricket and soccer for England. And Roger Woolrich, they all celebrate their birthday on the 16th of September. The 17th of September, we have Mr. Ashwin from India.
Mm-hmm.
From New Zealand. Kenny Burns from Australia. And we have Jaya Sharma, female cricketer from India. We have V.R.S. Singh from India. Ernest Brock from South Africa. Peter Lever, former fast bowler from England. Sir Donald Curry from South Africa. All the 17th of September. For the 18th of September, we have from England, Darren Goff. We have from the West Indies. Both men were born in St. Vincent. Winston Davis and Alfonso Robert, both play cricket for West Indies, Test cricket. We have Derek Pringle from England, Bruce Murray from New Zealand. They all celebrate their birthday the 18th of September. For the 19th, we have Wayne Clark from Australia, Namar Rahman from Bangladesh, former captain, Dick Walcott from South Africa, and Graham Kramer from Zimbabwe for the 19th. For the 20th of September, we have Izaz Ahmed from the senior from Pakistan. We have Anil Duplat from Pakistan, former wicketkeeper, first Hindu to play cricket for Pakistan. We have also Walter Griffin from Australia. We have John Ballantyne from Canada, Bid Nawaz from Sri Lanka, and Rudy Van Buren from the Netherlands. For the 20th of September, we have Mr. Curtly Ambrose, of course, giant of a man, 50 not out, as Leon mentioned earlier in this program. Along with Mr. Chris Gayle, another giant, of course, from the West Indies, and followed by Sir Larry Constantine, brilliant all-round. All three share that same 21st of September, along with Richard Ellison from England, John Crowley also from England, and Clarence Nipsey or Hillow from Australia, and Adam Huxley from Zimbabwe. Finally, today, those who are celebrating their birthday, Mr. Marty Crowe, prolific batsman from New Zealand. We have Tilshan Tumawarira from Sri Lanka, Chris Matthews from Australia, and we have Mr. Amlek Owanga from Kenya, Ed George from Ireland, and Mr. Mehad Hossain from Bangladesh. And these are those that we have. These are the ones that celebrated their birthday last week, those who we could have mentioned. So hopefully some are still alive. I know some are still alive. Some have been deceased. And hopefully they had all those who are alive still have, you know, share a wonderful birthday. So, gentlemen, take it away in the studio.
And I just want to add that some are very sick. I think Winston Davis, right? He is probably in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah, so, I think he's on wheelchair. It's in some accident, I think 1998, thereabouts.
He fell from a tree and broke the vertebrae in his back. Yeah. So we want to just you know, send out a really, really hearty birthday to this young man. We just wish him well. Of course, the two giants, we have the courtly Ambrose and the great man from the land of the wood and water, is it?
Wood and water.
Jamaica. Wood and water. Christopher Henry Gale. I know he threw a big party out oddly. I wondered if you were invited. he had taken a couple of months away from cricket to relax. So I know he is going to be throwing. At least he probably must have thrown an awesome one last night.
And this is a big one, also Larry Constantine. I think
Larry Constantine.
Yeah, he was the first cricketer to be named. Later, it was upgraded to Lord Constantine.
Lord Constantine. Yes. Awesome. Gentlemen, anyone other birthdays? I want to go ahead, only.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
Yes, a very, very happy special birthday on the 18th of this month to Miss Drina. I really hope that she had a wonderful day on that day. And Leon, I called your name, but 301, they're listening right there. So you two can join in. One of
okay.
our
All right.
family member, she celebrated the birthday. So happy, happy birthday. And, you know, you can raise the bar when you're ready. Especially.
Yes, indeed. But I want to say a special happy birthday to Miss Drina. We see her laying there on the switchboard every week, and we don't know when her birthday is on, but we just want to just take time out to just wish you a happy, happy birthday. And before we bring in Simon, I want to just take the opportunity to wish a very special person. She goes by the name of Carmen Harper. Carmen Harper. She lives in Glasgow, Scotland, and she's the daughter of Paul Winter. She gave us a tremendous time when we were there, took us all the way to Scotland, 3.5 hours drive, and took us a tour around Glasgow, and saw some very outstanding sights. Today, incidentally, is her birthday, and we just wish that she enjoys it to the best. And of course, all those who are celebrating birthday as well. But we want to just bring in our brother Simon, because he usually joins us at the birthday time. Simon?
Hello and a good evening, Leon. And it's happy to have you back with us. We did miss you. And Audley, Cardinal, Ivor, and Virgil, good evening to you all at the panel. And good evening to all the listeners out there. Hope you had a very wonderful week last week. And we are wishing you a much better week this week. Have a very good evening, and it's so nice to be back with you all.
Indeed. Any birthdays from you? Any birthdays?
I don't have any at this time, but I want to wish all those who have birthdays a very happy birthday.
And I want to take this opportunity to thank all you who have sent me birthday wishes. I heard most of them, and I thank everyone from the bottom of my heart. I just hope that you guys... I'm happy that you guys remembered my birthday, and thanks again for that. I was probably not able to hear you guys when it happened, but I listened to the show afterwards, and thank every one of you for the kind wishes that you guys expressed. Gentlemen, any other thoughts before we move on into we got to do this because Tenkit's birthday was on Thursday as well. I don't know, oddly you didn't remember to mention it, but I want to say a happy, happy birthday to Tenkit Nevis on the 19th. They did so, on the 30th, on the 19th, and we just wish them well. Anybody want to say anything about Tenkit?
We gave them a lot of airplay last week to Liam. So
we gave them a lot. Okay.
Yeah, this is all right. In addition. So.
In addition, we just wanted to remind our listeners that they did have it on the 19th. Okay.
I'm supposed to have some of my friends on Facebook are celebrating birthday this week, but my site went down, so I really can't recall who they're supposed to be. I'm hoping it will be back up shortly. It's been down from yesterday, so I really can't. But I must wish the people of St. Kitts Nevis big time anniversary independence. I've never been to Nevis, but I've been to St. Kitts, and I really enjoy going to St. Kitts. You know, watching where the oceans meet and stuff like that. Oh, that's real good. I really enjoy going there. So happy birthday, happy anniversary to you, St. Kitts. Big up, St. Kitts.
So how can you miss out on the land of beautiful?
How can you
miss out on the land of beautiful?
You mean that's Nevis?
Yeah. That's the name of the Indian name for
thinking.
For Nevis, rather.
There wasn't enough time. That's what
it was. How about you, Simon?
I didn't know, but I'm going to wish a happy birthday to St. Kitts Nevis and many happy ones to come.
All right. And, of course, we know that Cardinal wants to say something on behalf of his dear beloved country.
Well, I just want to hope that they can enjoy this birthday and look forward to growing up. 30 years for a country is but an infant. And so I want them to, yes, I do want to wish them a happy birthday and to hope for a time to look forward to growing into maturity from this day on.
Why don't we hear just a few bars of a tune by one of their most favorite sons?
Top of the world.
A country where peace are bound, a country where peace are bound, a country where peace are bound, a country where peace are bound.
Well, you have heard from the great King Miko.
Cool.
And that is the Ivor's favorite son. Right?
Yeah, Miko coming out of Cotton Ground Nevis there.
Cotton Ground. Okay, well, gentlemen, we are happy to be associated with St. Kitts Nevis. And we do wish them well. Why don't we move on? I think we have talked about the ODI to some extent, but why don't we just jump right into the T20, which the West Indies...
Before we jump, let's just go ahead and congratulate Miami Dolphins for getting to 3-0. They've just beat upon the Atlanta Falcons.
What?
23.
Breaking news! Breaking news! Well, where is Virgil?
Underway.
Are they for real this year?
Real. So 3-0, gentlemen. We haven't done this. We were not 2-0 in what 10 years ago. We were 2-0 after Chicken City last year. We were 3-0. Imagine when we had a perfect season. That's in the
Yes, that is something worth mentioning. I tell you,
In the '90s, I used to wear the Dolphins visor, Dolphins, a lot of stuff, you know. But then I was never a real big football fan, but just the fact that I was living in Florida, I used to, you know, South Florida, as a matter of fact. So I used to wear the Dolphin gears. So we have to start, you know, get interest in football, get some interest in football and start root for the Dolphins, maybe. I don't know if I'll get the football fever.
One of the gifts...
We better get them board now, Army. Get them board. We have room. we don't need bandwagoners, so now is the time to get them board. Don't get on when we reach the playoffs now.
Yes. Okay.
One of the gifts that I took for Paul Winter was a Dolphins cap. And I'm sure when he wears that outside, is outside of Manchester, the guy's going to say, man, Dolphin winning. I know the cap might be worth a lot in those parts of the world. So congratulations on them. I hope they continue. We need another champion. We need another champion. Not like the Marlins. We need another. Now, since 72, that's too long, right? Too long. All right. Thanks for that information.
I have another breaking news. Tiger Woods won the PGA of America Player of the Year. That's for 2013, of course. Now, this is a guy that was left for dead a year or two ago. He almost fell out of the top 100 players after being number one for unprecedented time. And he has retooled his game. He has went rightly so. He did get a lot of criticism and beaten, rightly so, because he placed himself there. He deserved it. Well, he has revamped himself. He came back, and he won all of 5 PGA Tour tournaments this year. He did not win a major, but he won the so-called 5th major, the Players' Championship, and win the FedEx Cup this year. But he was up there in the final 30 when the smoke died down. So he has just been named the PGA Player of the Year for 2013. So congrats to Tiger Woods.
Oh,
and
man,
of course, he had been number one for quite a while again.
Yes, he was replaced the other day, but he just got back on right on top again. Congratulations.
Yes.
I do hope that he goes on. I don't know what Simon has to say. Simon, what have you? Are you a golfer? Not one.
Well, I look enough now and again, you know, but, you know, congratulations also. It is in order for Tiger Woods coming back. Like he was in the wilderness for quite some time, but I'm glad to see his come back and almost at the top of his game again. Congratulations.
Yes, indeed. We all share the same sentiment. How about you, Cardinal? Anything to say?
Oh, well, no. I'm not really a golf fan, but, you know, I'm happy to see him back. You know, that's his game, and we claim him as one of us. So I'm willing to say congratulations. I'm happy that his game is back. As if he had allowed, you know, his other personal problems to get in the way of his professional performance. So, you know, with time, I guess he worked that over and he's back in his groove again. I'm happy to see that.
Awesome. You know, I too want to share the sentiment. You know, I'm not really a golfer, but whenever Tiger Woods is playing, I will watch. And when he's not playing, I won't. So I tell you, I'm glad to see the young man has gotten back to his game. You know, the American people are forgiving people. When once you just come straight, they want to forgive you. Very little is heard about that guy, that cyclist. although, you know, his Ben Johnson, they were back in the forefront again, and so forth and so on. So
yeah,
we have to.
And he's talking a lot of trash, you know, about himself, what kind of stuff. You know, I don't know.
Yes, were you through?
No, yeah. Well, he said something that is true though. That is that they taking it, the drugs is not something that makes you fast, but what it does is it helps you, like when you're injured, you know, the reaction, the time you recover much faster.
Okay.
You know, you recover faster, but you know that's a disadvantage as well, you know.
Yeah. And you take a subject, a whole show for us to talk about that drug problem, because it's going to be, I believe that's going to enter into cricket and other sports more so than ever, too.
Oh, yeah. See, they are now testing players. In cricket, players have been suspended for drugs, you know. So they're going to widen the scope, you know, a whole lot, you know, because it's unfair. You can understand if you have a bat or whatever, but just like in the baseball, when Sammy Sosa was caught once with a practice bat with some cost on the inside, and that caused the ball to go much further. So they're saying they don't know the situation. When he had the duel with Mark McGuire, which at the time baseball turned a blind eye to, because, you know, they had a partially cancelled series season the year before, and it was so good for baseball when they had the duel between McGuire and Sammy Sosa, hitting 1, 2, 3 home runs per night, and you know, but then they found out that it could have been a situation where he had been cheated. Nobody knows for sure, but that practice bat, when it got broken, it revealed there was some
corking.
Yeah, I'm sure, man.
But we want to hear from our good friend Virgil. He went to the Dolphin game.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Francis. Welcome back, and I hope you had a wonderful time over in England.
Yes, man. I wish you were there.
Good afternoon, Simon, Audley, Ivor, and Cardinal is there.
Cardinal as well.
Yep. Yeah, I went and watched, after I came from work, I went and watched my team, Lauder Hill Jammers, played up in Palm Beach today. Which they played against the youth academy, which we made for 2020. We made only 109, and we defended that runs and win the game in the end.
Okay. And
also, want to look to Ivra for the little kid that he bought me. He didn't make much today, but he bowled very well today. So I mean, everybody's a little bit impressed with the little young youth that came today. So. Was real happy for that, and I know he's real happy that he get a team to play with.
All
16
right. 16
years old. Yeah. Let him know. 16 years old.
16 years old.
So, Virgil, what you're telling me that Ivor is now, among other things, he's now a scout?
Yes. We got a little bit of everything.
Okay. Congratulations,
Ivor.
Ivor
have to tell us where he found a little 16-year-old.
Well, he came out of St. Kitts fresh, ready to play some cricket, so.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Just, well, I don't want to touch it again. You see, I'm scouting for the West Indies senior team, too. I'm old, so I move out. So I'm moving out the oldsters, let them follow me and talk cricket and scout, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay. So we'll take a look at the. Go ahead. Are you going to
Can I also say, I want to say this too, a happy, happy birthday to Gaetan Williams, who celebrated his birthday today. And you know Gaetan for a very, very, very long time too, Ivor.
You say
Gaetan Williams?
Oh, okay. Happy birthday, Gay. I mean, he's Gaetan, but they call him Gay. I hope it's by name and not nature.
No, it's better you call that man Gaetan. You see, I remember some years ago in Jamaica, there was a singing group by the name of the Gay Lads, you know, Lady with the Red Dress on and things like that. I know they would never, no one called themselves Gay Lads, because the name has a different connotation to it right now.
So you better give that man all of his name.
when I say gay, I meant he's a happy guy, you know. Happy.
Yeah, happy.
It means happy now. Let's not get carried away now.
But you know, even the happy is different now from the happy they're talking about. So.
Oh.
name.
Okay. All right, Cardinal, you and I don't understand what you're talking about, right?
No, I have some kind of clue, but, you know, I'm going to listen to something more and see if I can pick up and follow. I wanted to comment on the drug testing in cricket that somebody commented on earlier.
Yes, go ahead.
What I'm concerned about is that it gets kind of overly aggressive. And someone walks into a store, has a head cold, and takes a decongestant off the shelf and goes home and takes a few, feels better, and then he's tested. And there's some symptoms in his system that shows that he's been, you know, associated with one of the banned substances. Well, I think it puts a lot of pressure on the players to figure out what each company puts in its cold medicine, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then because of that they do something that we all do, and then they become associated with a stigma.
That's
because
true.
The term drug use would be attached to them. You see? And that is one of my concerns, you know. But because these so-called doping agencies are giving oversight on the rules of using chemical substances for performance enhancement, they have become somewhat over aggressive sometimes. And the players cannot be, if they didn't study medicine or the study of chemical substances is not a part of their training program, you can't just impose on them because there are people out there who are willing to go the distance to violate the rules and get ahead. I think a distinction should be made. And not this overly aggressive thing, and I know that it has happened to a couple of players, and even you know, in cricket, and even a couple of athletes, track and field athletes. I know it happened mm-hmm. to the young man Paranga from Sri Lanka, and he got a 2-year ban for taking a cold substance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm willing to have these agencies that do the oversight. To back off the aggression and find some kind of categorization to determine, you know, the level of punishment. I think Taranga was out for over a year, you know.
Yes.
So I have concerns about that.
And I'm concerned. I didn't realize that they were really so aggressive where the crazy concern, because we understand in athletics, you know, you're out there as an individual and, you know, you're going to, you know, whatever, you know, going to get the boost. And in one case, one athlete was tested positive. I think it was Shelly-Ann Fraser, but it's some medicine she took, and that banned substance was actually something that slowed you down. It's not something that's something that could do the sleep mostly. It's not something that was enhanced performance. But it was also on a banned substance, and it's going to be said that she was banned for taking drugs.
Yes.
I see what you're talking about.
Yes.
But I didn't realize that they were going after the cricketer so in such an aggressive form. And I think distinction should be drawn there where I know it is said that you are responsible for what you eat. But, like, you know, having a cold medicine sometimes is the only thing that really helps you. You know, that's the only one that really helps, you know, and to be banned because of that is really not good.
Not good at all. And athletes these days have to be very, very, very careful. You know, you can be, you know, you can just put into your body something that's unknown to you, contains a substance that causes you to be banned. And when you are banned, it seems as if the stigma is put on you as if, well, you are drug cheat, as it were. So they have to be careful. I know a guy like Bode. I know he has to be so careful with whatever he eats, smells, because no, they would be glad to make an example of him if they found him with any a semblance of anything in his body. So.
Oh yeah, you would have to look at his overall record and see from he has been growing up. I know some people just totally disregard that because when you are that good, you have a target on your back and everybody's trying to knock you down. As Ivor would say, they don't stone a mango with only green leaves. It must have something on it for them to throw a stone at it. Right?
Exactly.
That's right. Nobody's
stoned a mango trees, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but his overall record, you can see from he's a young man growing up, he has been fast, breaking all his records, coming right up and continue to be like that. So, you know, and he has been one of the most tested athletes. So it wouldn't happen that he had been cheating all along this time, you know?
Yes.
But Adley, can I ask you a question?
You go ahead.
Because you say you got to be careful with what you take, but what about if somebody give you something and then admit it in the end, that they gave you something? Mm-hmm. How would that work out?
Well, it is said that the athlete is responsible for what, they are not going to excuse you. You are responsible for whatever you consume. So that's why Tyson Gay was saying, oh, he trusted somebody and they let him down. You know? But ultimately, you are responsible for what you consume.
Okay, and so Adam took the apple, right? And to this day,
I was going to ask a question. How did this work out? That he had this guy who was about to die the next day. So he called his wife and he said, I have to confess to you that I cheated. And he started calling a bunch of names who he cheated with. And then the wife said, it's okay, darling. I know all about it already. That is why I poison you. Die in peace.
Okay. Why don't we take a pause for cause and just come right back.
You're listening to The Cricket Show, broadcasting around the world every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. To join in the conversation, call 1-347-934-0226. Log on to blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show or email your questions and comments to thecricketshow@comcast.net. And now, once again, your hosts, Leon Francis, Ivor Henry, and Audley Watson.
Also with us, Virgil Francis, Cardinal Mills, and of course, Mr. Dr. O'Brien. And we want to also welcome a Pakistani friend who just joined us from somewhere. I don't know his whereabouts, but he has been consistently joining us all along. So we just welcome him and hope that he can tell his other friends that we're on every Sunday. As you were saying, Audley.
I say for Audley, the last time the Dolphins were 3-0 was in 2002.
Okay.
So we can move on.
Okay. All right. So why don't you just take a look at the West Indies in the T20 match that they played yesterday. We lost, of course, by some 93 runs. India A batting first, scored 214 for 7, with a number of players getting good scores. Yuvraj Singh, 52. Shand, 47. 37 from Utapra, and 42 from Jadhav. Bowling for the West Indies, well, everybody got some stick, except, of course, all except two players who got one wicket for 35, that was Pramol. His average was 8.75. And Nurse, 2 for 18 from 4 overs. and the others went for 14.50 for over in Beaton, Russell 11.25, Miller 14. We told you more Permal and Nurse before, and Bonner went for 14.52. When the 14.50, when West Indies batted, they score 125 or 121 all out, with the top score being Fletcher, and the others just did not impress. West Indies losing by 93 runs, and they obviously got bowled out for under the 20 allotted overs, which is to me a cardinal sin in, pardon my pun, cardinal, but a cardinal sin in T20, in T20 cricket. Gentlemen, have your say.
Mm-hmm.
When would you begin, cardinal?
Okay. Yeah, no, that earlier, it's only a cardinal sin when it comes to the greatest starter. Anyway,
yeah.
I said, you know, earlier that I'm liking the approach that this team is making towards their scores. I could see that they attempted to, they looked at what was placed in front of them, and they didn't back down. And so we are recurring problem. So we have to find a way to strike that balance between scoring rapidly and remaining at the crease.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Powell and Fletcher start off the way that they should approach this thing. They took 19 runs off the first over.
Yep.
The only thing that we need to do is to for them to have carried on and have done that for a few more overs. You know? So, by the time you get down to 6-7, the scoring rate slowed considerably because you have your lower order batsmen. So we have to, we can see definitely that the problem here is balancing rapid scoring with retention at the wicket. Now, the question should be, what are we going to do to resolve that problem? We can identify what the problem is. The next step is to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
We allow them to keep that courage and not get into the wicket because they see a big score, not get into wicket and fold up thinking that they're going to bat for a long time and get the runs eventually. This form of the game is one where you have to get in and get going very early. So both in both the one day format and the 2020 format, I could see this team, you know, making the right approach. So I do not feel that badly about them. You know, I think that's an approach that we need. Get in there, get runs early. But we also need to focus on minding our business in terms of staying at the crease while we score those runs. And that's my only comment as a drawback.
Ivor, you want to go?
Yeah, I hope we're not becoming complacent. Having won the ODI, you know, I always say on any given day, any 2020 team can win, the one that shows up and shows fight and hunger. And the reason why I'm going there is that in the CPL, I really thought that the Barbados Tridents took the foot off the pedal when they went out about 3-0 and then started like becoming complacent, and now we're having some Bajans who are in this team, and I hope they're not following the trend. We're out front, let's just not have that killer instinct. Seems like England did the same thing. They won the test matches, and then they were some guys here, and if Australia take it, they take it. No, I want us to not only have the do not die attitude, but you have to have that killer instinct. And go out like really want it, and
not only that you want it. We have to approach matches. We have it, and we're going to try to keep it and let them fight for it. We shouldn't be fighting to get it. Let's just play it like days of old. Fire in Babylon. Put that in your head every time. That we are on top and they want what we have. I have a feeling that we just lay down a little bit. I don't know, you know, he's a young captain. He would have been happy. I saw the photograph there with all smiles after they would have won the ODI. In a short space of time, they had to regroup to get the 2020. I would, you know, admit it wasn't maybe the best 2020, but they're on tour and they would have to select from what they would have had there. Because I surely would tell you, Santoki has to be in any 2020 team.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my guy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm agree with you with that. So, the mere fact, you know, wasn't there, Cottrell and all those guys. But, nonetheless, all I'm saying here, it was a good showing. Cardinals said they made an effort. Liam said it's a cardinal sin, and I agree with him. It's a virgin sin.
Did you say Virgil sin?
Okay.
A virgin sin, right?
I just have cardinal all the time now, you know. So Virgil, all I'm saying here, you should not be bowled out in 20 overs. Somebody has to put the brakes on and at least lose with pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I see 2020. You're not going to win, but lose with pride. Don't give it away. So they would have to work on that. But like I said, nonetheless, it's a loss, and we have to just pick up the pieces and move on. I don't like losing. I can accept losing, but I don't want my team to be losing. I go up on what we can win, we draw. So, in this case, try to tie the match.
Hardly.
It's unfortunate that we, I think so, Ivor just mentioned that you always say it's a cardinal sin to be bowled out in such matches. Not even batting your allotted amount of overs, whether it's 50 or 20 overs matches. But to be bowled out, I mean, in such form, such fashion, like they just roll over and play dead, you know, it's collapse.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. It's not good for the world champions. I know it's a second tier, but we want to continue the upward climb, not to be reversing. And losing that way is like you're serious about the match.
Mm-hmm.
And Russell was very, very, very expensive, but he happened to pull a rabbit out of the hat. Four wickets in four balls?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That don't happen very often at all. Four wickets in four balls.
Beaver. It's called a beaver trick. Yes.
Beaver trick.
Virgil had one of those.
Yes. Virgil, tell us about your hat trick. Your beaver trick. You have to have a hat trick before you get a beaver trick, right?
Yeah.
You can't have a beaver trick without having first got a hat trick.
Right. Beaver trick, you have to have the hat trick.
Okay. Well, tell us about it. What went wrong on Virgil with that match?
What I see, I don't know if these guys, because the windy, the two, one day, and then they just go ordinary. And I think what happened, India come out. I mean, when you have weapon, I think India upgrade their weapon, and we just come out with the same weapon that we had, and then go to fight with that weapon. I think what them guys should have done is probably, you know, something we win this too. We got to make sure that we go and win this other one. Don't think because we win the one day, it's going to automatic happen. But, I mean, the ball is round. Anything can happen. They try their best, whatever, but hope the next game they come out with more weapons and fight harder next time. At least people can understand, you know, something. They are fighting, and they, you know, they win the game. We really appreciate that. And they need to really come out fighting. I don't think they come out really fighting in this one.
You know, I'm not happy about them being dismissed under 20 overs, number one. And I was not happy with the way the bowlers bowled. To have so many bowlers going for more than single digits per over is not speaking well at all. I think someone should have been able to put the brakes on. But it didn't happen. But when you have bowlers going for 14.50, 11.25, 14.0, and 14.50, that's not a good example. At least when you have bowlers bowling 4.50 and then others bowling 14.50, it's true. Something was wrong. I believe they were not bowling. Go ahead. You were saying something?
Just one said, remember, they're not playing by themselves. So when this other team have their day, and I think that's what happened with those batsmen, they have their day, and no matter who you bowl the ball, your best ball, they put it in the boundary. So you got to give credit to the other team, really. No matter how hard we try, I mean, the other team was really on top of us. And, you know, that's the way it goes with the game. So we have to expect a little bit of that. But with disappointment for us, but we have to expect that sometimes.
I hope they learn from the lesson. And Ivor, you said it, and Paul said it. Paul said they were complacent. So I hope they don't take that same attitude going into the unofficial test, which begins on the 25th, the first unofficial test, 25th to the 28th. Well, it would be the night of the 24th for us, because it's a day match. So hopefully this is just a temporary setback, but as we know, in T20, any team can go. I'm not happy with the amount of bowlers who really concede double figures for over. At least if two go for big totals, the other should be able to do something better.
I think what happened was that the openers got up to such a flying start, and they simply couldn't recover. Because Yutrafa and Shand, they put on 74 runs in six overs and four balls. I mean, right. Nobody could recover, yeah, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And how about drop catches? Did they have many? I think a couple of catches went down.
There were some catches went down, poor fielding. But like I said, you can always, you know, stop bounding, but you cannot stop sixes. You know. So try to prevent sixes and bowl to your field. But I was on kind of trend where we're losing the first one and trying to be the comeback kid. So somebody may have, you know, told them, hey, if you lose the first 20-20, you have two more to come back. And when they look at the book, it was a blank sheet.
Blank sheet, only one playoff. T20.
It only was one, was just one man. So I don't want us to have the argument, say, well, if there was another two, we'd have come back the same point. Now, I don't want us to go into the test matches now, unofficial, you know, as it may, and say we're going to lose the first one and then come back and be the comeback kid. So, with every, you know, with the concern they're showing here, we have to put up a fight. And I think it was Ali who said, as champions in the senior team, we have to show that even our second team can beat any world second team. We have to put some pride back into all of our cricket. Because, you see, we move up to number 5, and you see how happy and joyous Santos came out of the park. That's what we need. Don't lose and think that we're going to be sympathetic with you. We don't take losing easily, and we have to go back to the old days. Find a way to tie or draw the match. Run out the man from the boundary, like Solomon. Do whatever it is. Don't lose. With all, don't bowl and no ball. Otherwise, you're going to walk and go back to Bridgetown. You remember all those gentlemen? That's how serious cricket was. We have to get back there. Let me just back with our cricket. There's plenty of money out there to be had. So when you go on the stage, whether it's 18 under 19, ladies, whatever, let's go on and do our thing and show people that you want your contract, you want your CPA money, you know. Make a name for yourself every time you put on the West Indies colors. That's how passionate I'm about the ladies, the juniors, the men, and whatever. And Leon, when we get to the CPL, I know you're gonna really ask the hard question: what are we doing for the youths if the promise was kept? So we can.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gentlemen, so that's
the
start because... Go ahead.
If we look at how this started out, you know, that first over cost the Indians 19 runs. We've hit 19 runs over.
And what did they do with him? The guy was lost. He didn't see the ball again. Right? They take him off.
Well, he was really... He pass on ball some gentle off spinner, so they use him to open the innings, which so the 19 they bush him.
They bush him. They put him to field at cow corner. Yeah. So after that, but just to bring us up to date, the first unofficial test will be on the 25th to the 28th. The second unofficial test would be on the October the 2nd to October the 5th. And the third unofficial test would be on the 9th of October to the 12th of October. So,
then if you have the team, you want to tell the listeners the team again, and maybe we can get a first 11, maybe?
That's a good idea. The team, of course, you know, Kirk Edwards now takes over the squad for the test. Okay, the test squad. And it is as follows. Okay, where am I? Kirk Edwards takes over the leadership. I hope that he continues in the vein. So, the test squad is as follows. Kirk Edwards, the captain. Kyron Powell, the vice-captain. Craig Brathwaite. Sheldon Cottrell. Narayan Singh. Dino Ryan. Jamar Hamilton. Leon Johnson. Veerasamy Permal. Chadwick Walton. And we have Jonathan Carter. Miguel Cummins. Asad Fuddin. DeLon Johnson. Nikita Miller, and Shane Shillingford. Shall we pick the spinners first? We have Nikita Miller, Shane Shillingford, Permal. Are we going to play the three, or we play two?
No, I'm going to go with Permal and... I'm going to go with Permal and Shillingford.
Permal and Shillingford, I think those are my choice too. What say you, Audley?
That would definitely be my choice as well. Because Miller hasn't you know, really show his
colors. Yeah.
No, and go down there. I would go with Shillingford and Permal.
How about the placement? Oh, what about Ivor? I'm sorry.
Why can't we go with free spinners? I'll go with free spinners. There's no sampling in India and some slow wickets. I don't see nothing wrong with playing with three genuine spinners. But I know that Miller can be an all-arounder in the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a longer version, and Miller can bowl long spells, so it's shilling fun. So I would hesitate to go with three spinners if I have to.
I can see them using Dino Ryan. If they pick Dino Ryan this side, he can do some spinning, but he may not be as good as Miller. But Miller, as we have seen, has been, I don't know if his confidence is wrecked, but he was horrible in the last two matches. So, but anyway.
Then again, we have to remember that the limited overs version, he has never been one that is very outstanding in limited over competition, but for the longer version, for the four-day matches, those are the ones that he's always bowling on the side, you know? I mean, bowling for long duration of time.
That's right.
All right, well, that could be an option. How about the openers? We know we have to play Powell. He's number one. And are we going to go with Brathwaite with him, or are we going to go with Fuddin?
Brathwaite is the only batsman. Fuddin is not open. Fuddin is he bats number three for West Indies when he plays. So you brought in Brathwaite hands down to be the opener. Powell is the established opener. So those, I think the opening thing is set. if I could jump the gun, the problem I have is with two wicketkeepers. We know Hamilton been batting as a batsman for the Leeward Islands on most occasions. So are they going to use Walton on one occasion and another they use Hamilton? Or would both be playing in the same team and one pair as a batsman? And any batsman would have to be Hamilton. But then again, we have enough batsmen when you look at the batting team. And the names, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Carter. Then Batwith, Powell. There's quite a long line of batting there. But when I'm picking a team in any first class thing, I'm looking to get wicket. That's why I'm going to go with the bowlers that I believe can bowl out the team without going for too many ones.
So what do we agree with Bradford and Powell as the openers?
Powell, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, maybe Virgil have a say. So
Virgil, how about you?
No, I don't really know too much about some of these open bats, really. All I know about Powell, but I don't really know the rest open bat. The bowling, I was thinking about the spinner, I would definitely put my head on with Shillingford, and you know, with the spinner, but the open bat, I can't give him much in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Leon.
Number three, I would say, hands down, it has to be Kirk Edwards.
Edwards, hands on Edwards.
Yeah, Edwards. I don't know how you guys see it.
Yeah.
Cardinal, you with that too? Kurt Edwards?
I'm thinking of Edwards at number four. And let's put
it.
He
always batted at number three though, Cardinal.
Yeah, I know. But you see, he's the captain now. And I see him as a very good stabilizing force. You know, someone to step back and look at see what's happening and come into the picture at that point when he can actually change the game if it's not going in West Indies' favour.
But he kept his Barbados in the longer version and bats number three, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand that. But I was looking at Kirk Weathers as number four, and let's put it in, come in at like a Larry Gomes at number three.
Mm-hmm. Well, Larry Gomes held him back at number three. Right?
No.
He was low down.
No. Larry Gomes back at number three. He was number three.
For the West Indies?
When Viv went to four, Larry Gomes was over number three. Yeah.
Okay, so what say you, Audrey?
I have Kirk at number three.
Okay.
I'm gonna put him here too as number three. And then we'll put
what Simon is saying.
So far I agree so far. With the spinners I would go with of course Shillingford, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I would try Miller.
You'll have
I think
spinner?
Miller would be a better bowler in India than Shillingford.
Okay, well,
there you
go.
And then with the batting, I go with the two openers. I go with Brathwaite and Powell as opening.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I'll go with Edwards. Yeah, that's I agree with you so far.
Mm-hmm. And okay. How about number four now, gentlemen? We have Dina Ryan, Footedin. Well, Carter,
I think that's at number four. He would be my choice, first choice. And the problem I have with Footedin and what's his name there? Edward. Because Edward,
mm-hmm.
when Footedin bats for West Indies, he bats at number three too. And he's technically correct, you know. To me, he's the best of all the youngsters in terms of technique. But I just don't need technique like a Darling Ganga. I need, more than that.
Protection. Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm not too sure that he would get in there. But kind of might be onto something in that he's on the tour. At some stage he might bat and get a number three spot. I mean, you can
I see him trying to get the spot for Darren Ganga. I see him trying to get the spot for Gaman Jaran Ganga too. Because Ganga is much. Not Ganga, Jaran Bravo. Bravo. I see Bravo not doing too well in the position. And we, most of you saw how he got out today. Just afraid of that. That lifting ball of his body. So, I don't know if that might be something that they're trying to do to see if he can, and we can move down Bravo down the order if that's the case. But I would like to see him bat to number 3. And number 4, Carter would be my pick for 4. And then number 5.
Dinner, right?
Yeah, all right.
I'll go
Dinner
at number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all
kind of that. Well, 5 or 6 for Dinner for me. I'm not. I know he bats number 6 for West Indies. Maybe the 8 he might want to go up 1. But if he's gonna hold down the all around the spot there at 6, then we have room for another batsman. And that's where the question for me came in first. Are we going to go with Fullerton 5 or Hamilton 5 using Hamilton as a batsman? Because Hamilton 4 won as a batsman.
How about Leon Johnson? How about Leon Johnson too?
Another batsman again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If Leon Johnson comes in or one day the batsman comes in, they will only play 12 spinners.
Carter is an all-rounder.
Carter is an all-rounder, yes.
But he's a batting all-rounder, so he's
batting all-rounder.
Yeah, he's going to be batting more 4 or 5 up in that area, as opposed to 6 or 7 down there.
But we're
going good so far. We're dissecting it good so far.
Okay. So we number 3 would be.
Are we going to put the keeper? Are we going to say
Hamilton? I don't know. I feel Hamilton is going to be left out. I think they're going to play Walton as the keeper.
I think he should be the wicketkeeper batsman.
I think they're going to play and a guy can strike the ball. You're going to put him at number 7, and number 7 would be a good position for him. And number 6 would be. So we have Powell.
Remember, we have at least two fast bowlers to look at, you know.
Yes, at least 2. Well, I'm going to give
at
you
least 3.
At least 2. We have Dylan Johnson, we have Miguel Cummins, and we have Sheldon Cotterill. Cotterill and Cummins. I concur. Dylan is good, but the guy's tall and has a knack with moving the ball. But I like Cotterill and I like Cummins. Cummins, if Cotterill can just get his accuracy right, he'll be a threat. He will be a force to be reckoned with. And Cummins at pace with T2, we will want to see him. And then we have Carter can help out too. So we have the 3 pace. At least we have 3 players right there, so can handle the pace.
Do you think Cotterill have the salute down pat?
I think he have it down pat, but whether that he can adjust to the Indian wicket is another story.
Okay, but, well, we wait for the salute.
Uh-huh. I want to see the salute.
So we have
Powell, Bradwick, and Timmy Kerr with Edwards at number 3.
Uh-huh.
And then number 4, we had
Carter.
Mm-hmm. And number 5,
we're looking for number 5.
Yeah, number 5 we're looking for.
Deanna Ryan.
Deanna Ryan, I think Deanna Ryan would be a better option, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Deanna Ryan at 5. We're looking
for number 6 then.
Number 6, to me, like Leon Johnson. Leon Johnson bowls off spin, or is he just a pure oil? Leon Johnson?
We're looking for a batsman all around the way.
All batsman.
Are we going to use who? to me, you have one of three to pick. Either Hamilton as a batsman.
Yeah.
Johnson or Fullerton. Take your pick.
But Fullerton is an all-rounder too, you know.
Fullerton is an all-rounder?
Yeah.
I don't know if Fullerton is Fullerton too bold.
Yeah,
I don't remember
bold.
Huh? I know him as a bat.
Yeah, he's an all-rounder. He has bowled for his team.
I don't know who he took the ball.
No, but he has bowled. He bowled against New Zealand. Was it Australia?
Well, Lava bowl against teams too, but it doesn't mean that he's not ball bowl.
Someone bowl.
They're not noted for, you know, for the bowling, but for the thing, if he can't make the team as a batsman, he's out of luck. I don't want us to go into a longer version with the 2020 team with a bunch of all-arounders. That's the mistake we've been making all along.
We need specialists.
If you're looking for an all-arounder at number six.
I was thinking
Jonathan Carter.
I put Dina Reiner and him. No, Dina Reiner, we have a five already.
Yeah.
Dina Reiner at five.
I think you wait Carter if you move him down at number six. He'll be unfamiliar territory. He's a stroke player. He's a definite batsman who can do a little bowling. You see, I think we get carried away in the senior team. If Samuel's going to bowl the ball, Bravo, that's what is killing Bravo. If he's going to fail with the bat, or give me the ball check and do something. No, if you're going to bat, go and bat. I want you to bat for me. Forget about the second tier. You ain't the guy who's over for me. Go and bat. So I want Deanna right now, if he's going to bat and bowl, I would rather have him in number six for me. Anytime from one to five, you're supposed to be specialist. And you only get a bowler like Butcher coming to break a partnership with a long hop or something. I need five solid batsmen for five, one to five. And number six, give me the DNA Ryan kind of a person. But if you put him five, fine with me, but give me somebody at number six who can bat.
All right, we have Fullerton, we have Miller, we have Johnson, we have Hamilton.
So you want to put Fullerton at number five and move Dura into number six?
That would have been my bet.
Well, no problem with that. I have no problem with moving Dina right to six. Yeah, and then we'll strengthen the spinning.
And then we have the two pace bowlers, Cottrell, Cummins, and two spinners.
Okay, so. So we're going to move Dina Ryan
to six.
To six and put it in at five.
Five.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the wicket keeper.
The wicket keeper, Walton. You got Perumal, Shenford, Cummins, and Cottrell. In whatever order, because I think they're much of a muchness. I don't know if I don't know much about the batting capabilities of Cummins. I know Shillingford can hit a few. Perumal is okay; he can do a little batting. So the team that we have picked is Powell, Bradwick, Edwards, Carter, Fullerton, Dina Ryan, Walton, Perumal, Shillingford, Cummins, Cottrell. We can put them in any order as far as I'm concerned. I don't know much about their batting capabilities. But that would be the 11. Anybody object? What would you say, man? You object to any?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, I'm going along with you so far.
Okay.
I don't know too much about those, but, I'll go along with you as far as we've got already. I already named my opening batsman, number three. Number four, I agree with that one.
Yeah.
The two spin bowlers, I'll go with Nikita Miller.
Miller.
And of course, the Dominican Schillingford.
Yeah,
I'll go with those two. The fast bowlers, I don't know too much about those.
Well, Cummins, you got Cummins, Johnson, and Cotterill.
Okay.
And of course, Carter can bowl a little fast. Virgil, what say you?
Sergeant all the way.
Sergeant, you left arm like you, right?
Yes, he's fast, so I'm impressed with him. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll get, I think, about six salutes.
Six wickets?
Sorry. Might not be 6 wickets, but he'll get five. He get about 5 wickets and one catch. He'll get six salutes.
Looking at this team, I don't think they can come with much difference. We'll see what they pick. Today's the 23rd.
If they're gonna be any change, then any difference in this team, I don't know if they may take the longer, you know, verse of the game in minor and use Miller instead of Premal, because Premal is really good in a limited over version most of the time.
Mm-hmm. And I see
the only change would be the switch between Walton and Hamilton.
Well, but then I have made a point here. Hamilton can be used. I wouldn't want to see Walton out of my team, number one, but I want to see that Fullerton could be dropped for Hamilton. Because Hamilton can make the team as a batsman. And he can make the team as a batsman and put it in. I don't know if he can, if he batting that low. But at number five, he should be able to perform. But this guy, Walton, yep. Hamilton, is a good, solid batsman. And he can make the team as a batsman only.
That's the change that I would make from if put it in that batting number three for me. I'm going with Cardinals. For three, then he goes to four. If he's not getting in up there, I think Hamilton might have to take that number five spot. But the number one keeper, Walton. Let's not make number one the moment.
Walton is the number one keeper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Number one.
So he's the keeper. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. If he injured, where we have Hamilton, who can keep?
Can back up.
But mm-hmm. I'm playing primarily as a batsman for even Leeward Islands. And, you know, for whatever team he plays on, it's just that he can keep. But he's good enough to play as a batsman.
As a batsman, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, if I had to really, really pick the team, I don't want to just try and put it in at number five, knowing that he bats between one and three. I put him in an unfamiliar position when I know Hamilton has occupied, you know, that spot at number five and has come true.
He's come true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I think we have it down pat. I don't think they can come with much difference. We'll hear what they say. We'll keep this for our records and then hear what they say.
Yeah. But for me,
the only thing that we differ
for me, trade Hamilton with
put it in.
Mm-hmm. And trade Pomal with Miller. That's for me. That would be my team.
I think I would go with that too. I think that's the only two changes that I think they would have made.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how about I wouldn't pick Miller. I would pick Hamilton, but not Miller, because I don't know if he.
Yeah,
but,
just put a side note there. By the time you come again, they'll play.
Yeah.
So
Miller for all. Miller. Okay, and then we have Hamilton for Fullerton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once you're going to put footed in, if he's not batting number three, I don't think I'm going to...
All right, well, I think it's a good lineup that we pick. Good lineup. I can't see they're doing much, very much different. But anyway, we'll wait and see. Okay, shall we go on to the most exciting part of the show? Well, we talked about... Guys, do you know that West Indies ladies will be touring too? As a matter of fact, starting October... the West Indies under 19, and West Indies women will be playing. But I think we're going to wait until next week and touch that, because we want to go into the IPL, not the IPL, the BCCI Championship League. And that started on the 17th of September. Of course, you guys covered quite a bit of it. Just want to say the matches that were played so far were three matches that were played. The first match in Group A, Rajasthan Royals, they played the Mumbai Indians. And the Rajasthan Royals, they beat the Mumbai Indians by 7 wickets. Scores, the Indians 142 in the allotted 20 overs for 7, and the Royals 148 for 3, with good score from Pollard 42 and a good knock of 44 by, is it the captain, Rohit Sharma. So Pollard 42 came from 36 deliveries, 4 fours and 2 sixes, and 142 for 7 from the 20. 3 for 24. Malik got 3 for 24, included the wicket of Tendulkar, and Watson got 1 for 26, with Binney 1 for 13. The Royals, who scored 148 for 3 with Rahani, he got 33. He got 33. Samson, the young wicketkeeper, he got 54. And then Watson, he was not out on 27. Also not out with Binney on 27. So 148 for 3 wickets, which meant that they won the match. Johnson, none for 38. A wicket each for Cottle and Nile and Darwin. So, also getting wicket was Pollard. Pollard got a wicket for 20 from 3 overs. A good win for the Royals. And the Royals seems to be having a very strong lineup on paper. But they seem to have it pat, because we do have
Two balls to spare,
and we have Cooper, the Trinidadian, playing for the Royals, and Pollard playing for the Mumbai Indians. Cardinal, your take?
Knowing that Mumbai was the champion, but you know, like I will always say, you know, cricket, 2020 cricket is anybody's game. It's just a matter of who's going to show up and who's more ready at that crucial moment between the markers. So, well, you know, all in all, they played a great game. You know, it was evenly matched, as everyone can see. It's the kind of match that you'd like to sit down and watch. You know, when you look at it, you don't know which way it's going to go or what is going to happen. You just support your team and, you know, go with that. Pollard, you know, as we always accuse him of performing better in the IPL than he does when he plays for West Indies. So, you know, that's the only take-up I see there. Other people performed according to what we know that they're capable of. And all in all, it was just a pretty good match to watch. We hope that all the matches come out something like this. And I know we all are rooting for Trinidad, so, you know, we're hoping that they can come through on their delivery in the next go around.
Yes, indeed. I just forgot to mention, before you come in, that Dwayne Smith also played for the Mumbai Indians. Go ahead. Virgil.
Yeah, Cardinal, I'll answer that question to you. Okay? So some of them perform when they play those teams, them game over there. When they're playing for West Indies, the place is always secure. When they play for that, the franchise over there, if they don't perform, they don't pay. They don't get the same amount of money. If they play all the game, they get whatever money they was offer, right? And if they don't perform, they're going to be out of the team. So these guys will play, if 100% for West Indies, they're paying 110, 150% or more for this other team over there when they're playing for that. Mumbai Indian is my team, but I'm not sorry that they lost, because recently watching Pollard and his mouth on the field, I don't appreciate that, and I'm kind of losing respect for him and some of the teammates there. But even though I like Mumbai Indians, I was glad that Dravid team, Mr. Cool team, win the game today.
I blame you. You want to go?
Well, look, it's still in the early stages, and any of those teams that have lost already can still come back and win the cup in competition. So I'm just going to, you know, sit back a little and watch them beat upon each other for the time being.
Mm-hmm. Ivor, you saw the dismissal of Smith. I don't know if you saw it. Did they show a replay?
How did Smith out again?
LBW. LBW, playing across the line.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm. You thought he was out?
Yeah, he was a goner from what I saw. I mean, you know, I don't trust too much of these replays and stuff, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because
that,
I see that...
That's well documented, Ivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in terms of that game, I think the hype was more than what was delivered in the game between the two old stages. But it was quite fitting for them to start off with Tendulkar and Dravid. You know, he was dubbed, you know, the two of them versus each other. Even though Tendulkar is not the captain of his team, you know, he's an icon as long as he's on a field of play within the ropes. He looked out of sort, if you ask me, to be honest with you. Dravid, he was also a beautiful catch by Pollard. The guy is a bucket, he can catch. So they didn't live up to whatever the people came to see, both batsmen. But in terms of the game itself, we can see the worth of Malinga. I think Malinga was missing from the Mumbai Indians.
Big time.
And I think that made the difference right there. But I'm going to go with Virgil and say when these guys play for the overseas franchises, they would see the big dollar sign. And I think is, you know, the saying, money talk and everybody else walk. So it's sad. I believe in wearing the colors and charity begins at home. Maybe I might be foolish. I grew up with playing for Pride and I adore those guys. And once again, I'm asking the West Indies Cricket Board that just like Sanford would honor these guys and find ways for the Sobers them to get some money, I hope the CPL will find some ways for Sobers and those guys who play their hearts out, even travel by boat sometimes, play on uncovered pitches, didn't play for much. I would hope that, you know, some of these guys would be able to afford some kind of either job to get some money, because I still believe you play for Pride, yes, you want money. But Leon asked the question off record one time. How much money does it take one to live? Mm-hmm. These guys make an awful lot amount of money. And then at the end of it, some of them still end up books. I don't understand it. For instance, a boxer who's going to make $95 million and tell me he books in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I hope these guys are spending their money wisely, Virgil. When they see the big dollar sign and they play their hearts out, booking finger, booking back, whatever, they're showing up. They're striking when it comes to the West Indies and still expect to get paid. They remember, we are losing big time and we are demanding that to get more money. I hope that they would really show me the work in the West Indies, just like they're doing abroad. So I'm smacking your corner with that, Virgil. But in terms of the IPL, let me say this, gentlemen, and I know they're listening. It pales in comparison to the CPL. I really don't want to beat up on them too much, but the glitz and the glamour is not there. So I think I need to see the pom-pom girls, I need to see the bands, I need to see the colors, I need to see a little something. So the IPL has now got to take a page out of the CPL book, and I hope that they listen, because we are watching. And we want a little bit more than, you know, a regular stroke play. We need some entertainment.
So Ivan, in other words, Ivan, I'm hearing you saying that the IPL has learned to play an instrument, a musical instrument.
Yes.
And the name of that instrument is second fiddle.
Second
fiddle is fiddle to the CPL.
That's right. And, don't forget about the second emotion, but when you really look at it, it's not as live and lively, and I'm not being biased either.
It's not as sweet. I tell you something, Ivor. The guys would say, well, in as much as it's not sweet, when a guy's getting them kind of money for the play of the match, and they're getting so much more for winning the tournament, oh man, it's they'll play their hearts out. So
yes, I mean, you're getting $2,500 for man of the match.
That's a lot. I think the CPL.
Randy made 47 wins and get $2,000.
Yeah, right. So,
well, the CPL is going to up its antics next year. Watch and see if it's not going to match. If not the man of the match, if not going to almost match the same thing. I know, just like you said, those guys are really listening. I know these CPL people are watching the IPL too. We know it was modeled off it, incidentally. But we know that, you know, they're fine-tuning the program as they go on and the tournament. So next year that we're going to see some changes. They're going to up the antics. I think they're going to, you know, including man of the match will be getting more money. And yes, and what I'm hearing, I don't know if this is what Virgil is saying, that when the guys are playing for big money, they seem to be riding horses. But when they are playing for smaller money, they jump on donkeys instead.
Well, where can I tell you what Virgil said one time? Now, Virgil is serious. Virgil asked one time, he saw a band conductor with a little stick, you know, and he waved it in front of the band, a band conductor. And Virgil asked, how much guy get to just wave that stick in front of these people, that little stick? They said, $100,000. Virgil said, man, I would wave a lamp pole in front of those guys for half of that.
Exactly. Yeah, but oddly, I doubt that the CPL can afford to do some drastic changes. The first priority they have to do right now is, I've brought it up, is to meet the commitment they made to the younger players, to develop the younger players with the funds to develop the younger players, the $60,000 per franchise. I don't know if that has been met yet. And as we know, some of the franchise were not sold. And the organization had to foot that bill. So it might be a little steep to say come back next year and offer.
Believe me, with the sort of money they're making from the television rights, I don't think it should be a problem.
Okay, well, you see, they have to absorb some of that money into
sponsorship
of some team.
Especially just like what Ivan is saying there, with our sort of atmosphere, you know, and thing, it's big excitement all over the world when it comes to the CPL. So, I think more people are going to be signing on to watch it live, and I think they'll make the money. I'm just sort of optimistic when it comes to that. Not sort of, plenty optimistic.
I would hope they do it, but I want to see them honor that commitment first to the younger players. They promised this $60,000 per franchise to develop.
It's not done as yet? It was not fulfilled?
And
the promise?
As far as I don't hear anything mentioned about their fulfilling that promise.
Okay, so I think we need to find out. I think we need to inquire first, and because it can, a lot of things are done in silence, you know, because the sun rays in the east, rise in the east each morning, and we don't hear any noise. But it happens.
One thing I do know, I believe they're paying the West News Cricket Report at $1.5 million a day. They're supposed to pay them every year so that they can send team on tour and make them be as professional teams. So whether they have enough to pay the rest, I don't know if they get enough from the contracts or the TV rights. But excitement, gentlemen, we can't beat that. We had out of this world. We had a competition out of this world. And not even in the BCCI, they're playing, you have the lit bale when it falls. That is excitement in itself. To see the bales light up when it's being disrupted.
Oh, yeah.
So, and the four-pound pom-pom girls all around the field, those are wonderful innovations. I hope that they can, but I am not too sure they can do it after the first tournament. But hopefully, more hands will be coming and more sponsors will come out.
Let us not forget that those sponsors have been falling out. It's like they are falling out trees. They just, everywhere you turn, they've been dropping all over the CPL. So if it continues, there shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, there should not be a problem. But, you know, we are faced with a population which cannot support, at least we can't support a huge, let's say cannot support unless we get some foreign people, tourists coming in to watch the games. We don't have a population in Antigua to, say, give you a regular 10, 15,000 people. Unless we're going to raise the price, and then the price that we know was kind of adjusted to so that the man on the street can attend the game. So,
and you know, I heard the talk, the same thing. I think of this, and was it the KLAS? And they're talking about how it's the first time they've ever seen the Sabina Park, you know, park. You know, and I mean, like, even when Jamaica franchise wasn't playing, and somebody just had what we're saying. Somebody said, look, it's a price, man. It's a price. I mean, when the cricket bowl, you know, they hold a match there, you can't go there. But they say, with the sort of price, the man say, I bought ticket and I bought one for my friend. So are we going? You know?
Well, I went to 2007, the World Cup, 2007 in Jamaica, and it was full. It was full, not to capacity, but it was a reasonably good crowd. I was in a bunch of people around me, man. You could hardly move. But
every program you listen to, they are saying nobody has ever seen anything like that at Sabina Park over the year. Nobody has ever seen anything like that from
and
when.
It was played. The match was played in the day too.
And the evenings and stuff, yeah. Yeah, all our matches were played in the day, right.
Yes, the matches played in the day. So, gentlemen, a good win for the Royals, Radisson Royals, and then we can touch the other match now. Any other comments? Chennai Super Kings. No, well, Trinidad played before that. Trinidad and Tobago played against the Brisbane Heat. Of course, Trinidad and Tobago scored 135 for the loss of 9 wickets. Rambin top scoring with 48. And Simmons had 14, while the young boy Lewis scored 19. And a player that I like, and I will like him quite well too, is Puran. They played him. He only scored 8, but he hit a 4 from 16 balls, 8. And I'm glad that they put him into the mix. For the Heat, 4 wickets all for McDermott. Is Craig McDermott's son, this guy is? AC,
yes.
McDermott.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
And then a wicket,
yes.
For Roach. The Roach.
He's Alistair McDermott.
Yeah, okay, good. Yes, and Roach got Gravel, 1 for 29, and Howitt. He is a known player for Australia senior team. He got 2 for 22, a wicket each for Cotton and Dan Christian. When the Brisbane Heat batted, they were dismissed for 110, again under 20 overs. Another sin. More than Cardinal. But Burns.
Hardly sin,
yeah. 45 for the scores for Burns, 16 for Forrest, and 13 and 17 were the other two outstanding scores. But the bowling is interesting because Ram Paul got 4 for 14 from 3.4 overs. Badgery 1 for 16 from 4. Emirat 2 for 26. And Narayan. Narayan got a couple of wickets as well. 2 for 25. So those were the wicket takers, and Trinidad and Tobago won that match by 25 runs. A good win. And who want to go first? I know Virgil want to go first.
No, I'll go after someone else.
Oddly?
Well, I tell you, Virgil. What's his name? Rambin led from the front, and he was like a drill master in front of the stump and behind the stumps. And
all right.
That I like. And I keep on saying that I think the guy was undone when they did not have him captain one of the CPL 2020 matches. And I'm happy that he's still keeping his head high. I don't think he was daunted by that. The coach in Mr. Williams, David Williams, he too was not given a chance to practice his craft. He was an assistant behind Gordon Gooners, the batsman, who was a partner with Desmond Haynes. I think he was like they put in the horse before the cart. But nonetheless, he came out to play, and I'm really impressed with Rambin. He played with a level head today. He up. He's batting. He went up at number 4. So he's not like sitting back at number 7 and 8 and all those kind of stuff when he play for West Indies. I always believe the wicketkeeper should perform in front of the stump and behind the stump. And with him, he has a third portion to perform, his captaincy. And I'm telling you, the guy, he's on top of his game. He was today, I must say that.
He batted at number five.
Well, okay. Well, he was up at number 5. And I came up the order.
Come up the order.
In terms of it, which
I noticed you never mentioned Junior Bennett, right? You know, they're bringing Nixon, Bennett. Bennett got used to be the coach for Jamaica.
Yeah, he's a coach for the A team down in India.
He's the A team coach. I gave him kudos.
What I'm saying, no. Wasn't he involved with the Tarawas team?
Bennett was the assistant coach to
exactly.
Nixon.
To Ball Nixon.
England.
Right.
Yeah, Rick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying that I've never said anything about Nixon, about Bennett.
In terms of that.
Yes.
Well, I wasn't even aware of that, to be honest with you. I was not aware. But like I said, these are the things we have to look at. And I was going on to the Heat. Just like the Mumbai would have missed Malinga, today they were missing Watson big time. I think if they had Watson in the team, because Watson plays for that team.
Who? No, Watson played for... The Radisson Royals, no?
Yeah, Watson played for the Royals. The match we discussed that Watson was in that team.
Yeah,
but in the
team.
No. What I'm saying in Australia.
Okay.
Big Bash. He plays for that team. But
he played for the Heat. Okay. Oh, yes, I see your point.
Yeah. They would have missed the services today.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't want about to get carried away. When you're playing for a club team, it's different from when you're playing for your national team that has a flag.
That's true.
I don't think Watson would leave playing for Australia to play for a club team.
Right. It's just a matter of two.
Right. So if Trinidad were to win like Pollard and those guys, I'm a little harder on those guys. Because when I saw Trinidad and I saw the flag just flying all over down there, Pollard and I play that flag when they play for Mumbai. And I'm saying, Bravo batted today and batted well. And I'm like, but he's not flying a Trinidad flag. So the happier guys them down there today were Trinidad, who won, and they had a lot of supporters down there too. The great Sobella was there, Larry Gomes, Ganga. Mm-hmm. And they had a contingent because they know that this is the last go-around for the
individual nation.
The individual team, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I am wishing them well, and trust me, gentlemen, book me, I'm fully on board with them. I know Virgil says he's supporting Mumbai Indians, but Virgil, I'm urging you to come on board here with the Trinidadians so we can give them the push that they need as a West Indian, if not as a Trinidadian.
Virgil, I beg your pardon, but no way am I going to back Sammy's Sunrisers against Trinidad. And no way I'm going to back the Chennai Super Kings against Trinidad. No way I'm going to back the Royals that Cooper played for against Trinidad. No. Roach team.
TNT all the way.
They
are representing the
performance
down there. My question is, who did Bravo back? Who did Pollard back? And who did Cooper back?
Virgil, I said that just now, you know. Those guys who have a flag to fly and to wear the national colors, I think they should give this service to Trinidad. I'm saying that from day one. Trinidad made them. They played for Trinidad in the first go-around. They did well. And then they sold their souls out and left Trinidad. I don't mind it when the second year when Guyana would have represented. But from the time Trinidad get back in here, sign along the dotted line and say, Trinidad brought me here. Trinidad made me. You saw me paying for Trinidad. Whenever they come back, I have to go back home to base.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just go and beat up on them now and feel happy. And that's what this guy is doing for the almighty dollar. And if you ask
you know something?
I don't like it. And I cannot back no team against any team that's playing, representing us in the West Indies. I cannot do it.
Can I make one correction there? The dollar has been getting a beating from the euro and from all kind of currencies. Let's stop calling the dollar the almighty dollar, please.
Yeah. I tell you, man, when we do the conversion, when I go and convert my dollar to pounds, we're looking at for 101.83. That's what we were paying when I go there. Plus, the exchange booth is charging another percentage. So, Arlie, you're right in time, man. That is not no almighty. But
it has never been, and you know, and it's even worse now. So let's not call it the dollar. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, I just started.
What I'm going to outline for the Caribbean, the CPL.
Yeah.
Because here is the last year that the individual team country going. Now, what I like what the CPL did, give all the top guys of them who play in those leagues over there leadership. Now they have leadership. See, they're captain of their ship. See, they're going to drum ship and leave everybody to sink and go under in the water when the boat is sinking. So that's what I want to see. I mean, if the team is not playing, I can understand it's not going over there, but if the team going, I want to see what they're going to do. So, hope they don't drum ship. That's all we can say.
What now that Gale is not playing, will he be entitled to his full pay? Or is there a contract for... his team didn't qualify.
Right, your team... I suppose there will be some clause in the contract that says, you know, well, if you qualify, you'll be eligible for X amount. If you don't, well, you know, this is what you get. You know, I suppose those guys are, you know, they must have lawyers drawing those contracts, you know, so drafting those contracts, have to insert those.
But the point that I was making, and that's the point I'm trying to endorse too, because why in the world couldn't they be like if the team was disqualified and suffer the kind of loss that they will right now? Gail, I assume, would not be paid the full amount because his team didn't qualify to be the BCCL, the Championship League. So
no, my question is, I don't think they it was for the IPL. They was not playing to get to the Championship League, you know. They was playing for the championship of the IPL, and that's what the contract was for.
Yeah, but a certain number of teams qualify for the BCCI from the IPL.
Yeah, right. But this is extra. This had to be extra.
Yeah, I think it would be a bonus if they make it to the finals. Like Arlie was
saying. The bonus would have been less than if it were an IPL appearance, wouldn't it? And my point is they couldn't have suffered that loss that they would have incurred if they went and played for Trinidad and see that this was the last for these guys
who grab all the colors. There are certain contracts that they insert clause that gives incentive if you advance at certain stage and, you know, whatever. So I think that would have been embedded in the contract that, they, you know, if you advance to such a stage, you'll be eligible for this. And if we go on to win the final, then your fee would have been this. I think that's the case, you know.
Well, I believe India threatened them, you know, because if India didn't threaten them, and say, listen, if you guys jump ship and go and play for your team, next year we're going to ignore you.
Because remember one year Gail went and he was unsold. It was after he went in as a replacement and started a place ablaze where he got back into the ICL.
Yes. Yeah, so nevertheless, I'm wishing Trinidad well, especially since these guys didn't sign up.
Let me give my piece on Ramdin. I'm happy that Mr. Ramdin, in his capacity as a captain, we could keep everything, that he did not stay back and wait for things to happen, but he came in and caused things to happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, just like in setting the field and, you know, and everything. And to see that they eventually, you know, whip that team badly, it is a good thing for the Caribbean, because we know they're down there representing Trinidad, but in representing Trinidad, they are representing the entire region. And some very impressive figures. I see Badri bowled 4 overs for 16 runs, and he's a wicket too. So, you know, it's good.
Matthew Badri is one of the most economical bowlers in this format, you know.
Yes, so, Badri, yeah, I know.
Yes. Cardinal, did you speak?
Yeah, I am happy that Trinidad came through with this one. And to see that Rampal, you know, came through so well, because he was questionable after that ankle injury that he was suffering from. But he came through, he bowled well. And I guess the talk of the season right now is the missing players. But, you know, I'm sitting now, I'm hoping that Trinidad does not miss Bravo or Pollard. And they played well today. They played showing that they really didn't miss them. And I'm hoping that they continue in that vein. Fortunately for them, the Knight Riders didn't make it so well in the IPL, so they've got Narine. But even if they didn't have Narine, you know, you can see that they have a Samuel Badri and Riyad Emrit who can hold their own. So I'm pretty satisfied that they're doing well.
I only hope that they can continue to do better. Rondon played out well, you know, as a captain, as a wicketkeeper, you know, and I'm hoping that he can get a little bit more support in the batting. I'm looking forward to see the youngster, what's his name?
Pooran.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see him come through. And, you know, I'm also placing my bet on Simmons. He's been in pretty good form in this form of the game. He didn't get too many runs today, but I'm expecting that he would come through. There was also another youngster that
Aaron
came
Lewis?
To the
Aaron
runs with huh? No,
Lewis?
I'm wondering about him. There was a youngster that came to these ranks with Simmons, and I think he was a pretty good 2020 player. A young man by the name of Perkins. I don't know what happened to him in Swamp, Delaware, or something like that. But
I don't know how they can. I don't know how they can walk with Barrett and leave Perkins out. I cannot see that for the life of me. So you're onto something,
gentlemen. Let me ask you guys a question. Where was Perkins born?
Barbados.
All right.
But he's a Trinidadian. It doesn't matter where he's born. He grew up in Trinidad. He's qualified to play for Trinidad. But it doesn't mean that they have to treat him as an outcast, an outsider. Sometimes I think they do that a lot of times. But that guy has talent.
I sometimes believe that not only Trinidad, but most countries in the Caribbean, when a player doesn't come from your country, they treat you as if you don't belong. And I'm saying...
Well, they're doing that with Perkins because I kind of learned something there, and I know Barrett is more of a longer version kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. And you can walk with him and leave a Perkins out, and something is wrong with that picture, man. It's blurry.
You know, it irks me when we talk about this. Like Nash. Nash wasn't born in Jamaica, man. And he kind of white. And I did not like how they treat the guy.
Let me follow up Cardinal there. I know we're taking away a bit of his time.
We do have a little bit of time left. So go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. That Pooran has become the youngest player to play in the Champions League. So it's Cardinal. So let him go ahead.
Okay. So Cardinal, why don't you wrap up? Because in your closing remarks.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, let me just say congratulations to Trinidad, and I hope that they can move on, and I'm going to support them particularly against Super Kings and Mumbai, you know. So, you know, we hope for the best for them. And I'm glad to hear you guys are on my side with this. So, anyway, here we are. We've come to the end of a pretty good discussion. We always have more to say than what time we have to say it in. And that is what makes it beautiful. I've enjoyed these moments with you gentlemen. And I want to thank you over and over for inviting me, you know, into your company and sharing your thoughts with me. And the listeners out there, you know, thanks for listening and, you know, continue to be our guest. It was a wonderful day having this moment to spend with you gentlemen and you know, share your thoughts and ideas and excitement about, you know, something we grew up with.
Thank you so much.
And we'll talk next week.
Yes, Simon, how about you? I know you were quiet, but I know you have something to say. Can you make it short?
And I have to agree also, you know, if Trinidad is represented there, I would back Trinidad. I didn't see the match, but then any win is a good win. And Trinidad won, and I'm going to be backing them since they're from the Caribbean region. And I just want to say good night to all the panelists and all those listeners. Have a very good week. We come to an end of a very exciting week of cricket stories. And you must have learned quite a lot. I have learned quite a lot. And I hope you have also. And we are looking forward to seeing you next week. Time between 6 and 9, then the cricket show. Have a good evening. Good night.
Good night to you too. How about you? oddly.
Another evening well spent time together. Of course, we talk cricket, lovely cricket, and dabbling other little things as well. So it's not a wonderful time. So as usual, I'm going to say, hey, put your shoulders to the wheel and let me leave you with this thought. Just remember that hard work brings out the character in people. Some turn up their nose, some turn up their sleeves, and some simply don't turn up at all.
Indeed.
Talk to you next week, God willing.
Yes. How about you, Virgin?
Yeah, I'd like to say congratulations to Trinidad for their first win and hope they go all the way and at least in the final and even be the champion. And to all our listeners, I hope you guys enjoy the show and looking forward to talk to you again next week. Good night and to all.
Iva?
Yes, and gentlemen, make it short and sweet here. I just want to send condolences out to the Ken Norton's family there, a great boxer in his time. He would have gone to the greater beyond. We didn't get to touch on him, but at least we celebrated him, especially when he took on the mights of the mighty Ali and would have won him. And gentlemen, as usual, next week, we will be back here, and in the meantime, let your friends, neighbors, and everybody know they can go into the archives and listen to us if they didn't get a chance to hear us live and lively. It's blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow, and this is going to be at the top of everything that we would have said before, so let them get in there. I know they're listening live and lively, and those who are not listening live, I know they're going to go into the archives. Gentlemen, make it a great week.
Good night to you guys, and I really want to say thanks to all the panelists and those who listen to us. I enjoy being back. It felt like if I had missed my whole life having not been here, but I'm glad to be here. And I'm just going to take this opportunity to end with celebrating the Senkit Nevis anniversary one more time. And we do hope, like everybody say, that you die. Those of you who are listening to us will tell your friends, your well wishes, that we are here every Sunday, starting at 6 and we'll go until 9. Cardinal, it was indeed a pleasure and a delight for us to have you. You have made so much to the show that I think that you have become not only a cardinal part of the show, but a great and enjoyable moment for us to share our cricketing moments with you every Sunday. So good night to you again, and listen to what we have to say and to help Trinidad, not Trinidad, but think it's a Nevis in Jordan.
Just before that, can we make Cardinal a bishop?
Yeah, bishopric. Okay, good night. All right.
Now you're demoting me, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem of the proud Twin Island Federation of St. Christopher and Nevis.
Oh, land of beauty, oh, country, where peace abounds, thy children set us free. Oh, the strength of will and love, with God in all our joy.
Enjoy. your time away from us, but I know next week you'll find some time to be with us. Good night and have a wonderful week. Until next week when we are back on at 6, be sure to join us and tell your friends as well. Good night to you, Marva. God bless. Have a wonderful week. Good night.